There's been a major shakeup on the board of directors for Xerox. The CEO and six board members are leaving. WXXI's Randy Gordman talked with George Conboy from Brighton Securities to make some sense of these departures.
And George, first thing I want to ask you, we saw this, I know you and I were talking off the air earlier and saw this late last night, and even with all of the roiling going on in connection with the Xerox-Fuji deal, this really was kind of a stunning move, don't you think?
Stunning is the word I would use to describe it. It's rare in corporate America to see an imperial CEO doing whatever he wants and then get reversed by big shareholders who are essentially owners of the company. It's time that shareholders and owners stood up for their own rights. And this is a great case of that.
Why do you think Xerox did agree to the settlement? I know they released a statement saying, you know, they wanted to avoid, you know, protracted legal troubles as well as, you know, kind of move on with the business of the company. But, I mean, isn't it still a pretty unusual amount of crow, so to speak, for a company to eat to move ahead like this?
Oh, highly unusual, Randy, highly unusual. I think the legal example we would use is that you settle before you go to court if you know there's no way you can win in front of that judge. And in this case, the court of the shareholders, which would happen at the shareholders' meeting, where you already have your two largest shareholders saying you've done wrong, they probably figured there was no way they were going to win that and decided they better get out while the getting was good.
And what was the, do you think, I know the judge mentioned this, the New York City judge last week, but what was, in terms of the court's mind or maybe the activist investors' minds, what was the most egregious thing, the fact that they felt the CEO was basically dealing without the board's approval?
I'd call him a rogue CEO. The board had said, stop negotiating this deal. He ignored them or went around them. And there is some indication that the CEO, Jacobson, had some back-channel communication with the chairman, Keegan. But even if that's true, the board chair operating outside of the consent of the entire board would be highly unusual and a sign of bad corporate governance. So even if Jacobson had a wink and a nod from the chairman to go ahead, if he didn't have the agreement of the entire board to sell the company, he did wrong. And frankly, the board should have called him on it and should have fired him.
Yeah, now,
as far as his job is concerned, Jacobson, the CEO, can say he jumped, but it's absolutely clear he was pushed.
Now, obviously, they have control. That is, Icahn and Deason already had, about 15% of the company, but now they'll have a majority of the board. They've got their own man, John Visentin, as the new CEO. So what happens to this company now?
The struggle for Xerox remains, and that struggle is that copier sales haven't been growing. So outside all these dramatics of control of the company, we still have an industry that's been stagnant and a company whose revenues have also been stagnant. So the board still will have challenges, even with new management, even with better management. They're still going to have challenges in the marketplace. That doesn't go away.
I know Fuji already said overnight that they'd be filing an objection to the settlement deal, but you have to think, don't you, that these two companies, both facing their own struggles, will perhaps still find a way to make this deal happen?
If any deal does happen with Fuji, it will need to be renegotiated so that shareholders actually get a meaningful return from selling the company instead of giving it away.